Welcome to the Steve Noble Podcast. Tons of truth, lots of grace, but no sacred cows. Now, let the show begin.
All right, welcome back to the Steve Noble Podcast. Our dear friend from Arizona, who I was just laughing with David, because looking here on the video, I look like a container of Whiteout, and he looks like a glass of Coca-Cola.
I don't know if I'm that dark yet.
Okay, all right. So in North Carolina, we would say you have more the complexion of sweet tea, and I still look like Whiteout, which you have to be a certain age to even know what Whiteout is. But it's great to see you, David. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on your program. I'm the sweet tea guy today.
Yeah, that's your new nickname, sweet tea.
I won't give sweet news, so unfortunately.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Wrong subject. There's often not a lot of sweet tea when it comes to the financial stuff. But unfortunately for me, I grew up, I don't know why this happened. I grew up, my parents hated sweet tea. So we drank regular iced tea, no sweetness to it whatsoever, which really has the effect of, it's almost like you put a sheep in your mouth. I don't know what it is about a non-sweetened iced tea, but it literally would cause my mouth to become incredibly dry, even though I'm drinking liquid. So that none of that's not germane to anything today. But in case you do want to talk to Sweet Tea or check out his website, as always, landmarkgold.com is David's website. We mentioned that on the other podcasts episodes as well. But landmarkgold.com, or you can always give him a call at 844-604-2575. And I'll put that down in the comments as well. And David and I, our relationship, David began with a phone call all the way back in 2016. Hard to believe that'll be 8 years ago sometime this year. It's really shocking, but that's what it began with, as a phone call, because I didn't know anything about precious metals or gold and silver coins. And so I got educated, which is what we're always encouraging and challenging people to do. Just call David and his team and get educated. Start there. And then pray for wisdom, and God will help you make good decisions so you can be a good steward of your finances. But that's why we've been doing this with David for such a long time. And it's always great to have you on and always have a lot to talk about. But just how are you doing generally, my friend?
I'm doing great. I dropped drinking sweet tea and other sugars.
That's probably wise.
I lost 25 pounds since the beginning of the year.
Really?
Around my midsection.
That's awesome.
Changing my diet. And doing great, feel healthy.
That's not awesome.
A have to. Nobody told me to do it. It was a self-inflicted thing. Well, I would say Marianne, my wife, highly encouraged me. but I feel great.
Yeah, that's great. Well, praise the Lord for that. And God can be so good to us. But sometimes that ball's in our court. And it is amazing when you just decrease the amount of sugar you eat, what kind of an impact that can have. So that's good. That's good news. One of the things that we'll talk about today that's usually not good news, definitely not sweet tea, is what's going on in the banking industry, which we tend to talk about regularly here when we get together. And but there's always updates there. There's always a lot going on. And then with real estate loans, commercial loans, which we've talked about before, as you know, our oldest son lives in San Francisco. And it's amazing how noticeable it is there in terms of occupancy rates. But what's going on in the banking segment and with commercial real estate loans in general?
We're definitely not out of the woods. In fact, we're headed deeper into it from the reports I'm reading. Let's get into this a little bit. Commercial real estate loans this year coming due that need to be refinanced, 41%, almost half of commercial real estate loans. Mm. That's just shy of $1 trillion. They weren't paid off last year. They got to come refinance. Commercial real estate loans get refinanced typically 8 years. And so this is turning into a problem. Why is that? Because most of the buildings are 50% occupant and the landlord can't collect enough rent. And the loan that was written 5 years ago was at 1.5 to 2%. Now we're at 6 to 7% on that type of loan. They couldn't make their payments here the last couple of years, missing them. That data is at almost all-time high, except for 2008. And so now the banks are saying we need to refinance them, but the person who holds the real estate property doesn't want to refinance it 6 or 7% when they're at 1.5% to 2%, and they couldn't make that payment. So we're at this big impasse. That's why the analysts are saying this is going to go on for at least through 2025, if not longer. Goldman Sachs points to massive heightened risks in the real estate market. They say that the indicators show the pain train is not over. They're not the only ones saying this. Even the Fed, Steve, is saying this in their most recent report in what you call the Beige Book, which is a detailed summary of the Federal Reserve notes. They see consumer spending slowing, and they see mounting fears in the commercial real estate market. As a result of all this, one of the top Canadian investment firms that buys real estate, they just sold a high-rise Manhattan building late in February for $1 to get out from underneath that.
Oh, man.
The fear is that this is going to set a new precedence of a fire sale.
Right.
You mentioned San Francisco. San Francisco is having problems. Chicago is having problems. Montreal, Canada is having problems. New York is having problems. I'm sure we're going to hear that this is happening in Miami.
Sure.
And as a result of this, the top number one real estate U.S. buyer in commercial real estate, Cardone Capital, is saying we're no longer buying any real estate, commercial real estate in New York. They can't collect rent. The laws have gone against the landlord and for the tenant, and it's just insane. They're saying no more buying real estate in New York. That's the largest United States and the largest Canadian investors pulling out.
Wow. Yeah, it's really amazing. But the thing that's wild about this, and we've talked about this for years, David, is how the stock market doesn't seem to pay any attention to that. The stock market brushed up against 40,000 just a couple of days ago. Yet you have this tremendous train wreck that's occurring and unwinding and happening in real time. It's always so interesting to see where the stock market can be doing this. And then the commercial real estate market, which is enormous, can have such significant problems. But it almost seems like the two never meet. Would there be a point where the commercial real estate problem would get so big that it would actually start to affect the Dow Jones and NASDAQ and things like that?
When it unravels, yeah. So this very same dichotomy happened in 2006 and 2007. Look at how much the real estate market went up, both residential and commercial. But the underlying factors of the debt, let me remind us that a thing called derivatives, which was $14 trillion of total market capitalization in 2007 before the crash of 2008, and now we're $23 trillion of market capitalization of derivatives. And Warren Buffett says these are weapons of financial mass destructions. So the brewing debt issues that were growing behind the scenes, Wall Street was ignoring it in 2006 and 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only until the thing finally, it's like the Dutch boy can't hold it back anymore. There's no more fingers to plug the dike. And the pressure of it surmounts. We have one or two entities that go under. Then it causes the systemic or what you call a domino effect. And then it went across the whole globe, caused this massive recession. And then the stock market dropped 50%.
Right. Yeah,
but
man.
Most of the time, there is not this connection, and there is back then, and there's not one going on right now. But I assure you, this thing continues to where we're going. The connection will become very public, and the market on Wall Street will not be able to ignore it because the outcome will be very detrimental, just like 2008. It's a little bit different, so I want to say it's exactly the same.
Sure.
Residential properties are not doing what they were doing in 2006 and 2007. This is more of a commercial problem happening. The commercial market is much bigger than the residential, and that's the biggest problem that we're facing.
Yeah, and even the phrase derivatives, hardly any of us on the street knew what that was about until 2008. Then you find out that they're underwriting all this bad real estate, residential real estate stuff with derivatives, which is just another investment tool that they create, and tranches and all this kind of stuff. You're like, what are these guys doing? But they're always trying to figure out a way to make money on the downside or the upside, and they create more problems in the end, which is one of the systemic problems of Wall Street. And you start to, I'm like, wow, do I sound like a liberal? No, I think I just sound like a person that has a decent amount of knowledge and knows that Wall Street's got a lot of problems with it, as does corporate America. And so you can't look at that from the right or from the left. You just got to be straightforward with the facts, which is why I always appreciate the way we talk about this, David, because it's just, let's just look at the numbers and let's look at the facts. This isn't a Republican Democrat thing. It's just really a common sense thing. And unfortunately, that is a stock that has been plummeting for a while.
Yes. And it's, you know, it's not a, you're not a liberal and neither am I. And you know, we're not, it's not about a Democrat or a Republican. It's about exactly what you said, being factual. It's just simple math, simple numbers. Here's a fact for you. The FDIC has a bank problem list. In 2007, there was 155 banks on that problem list. Today, there's 52. So we're mirroring the image and growing. You know, and a year ago, it was under 20. And so imagine it's more than doubled in a year. Imagine we're going to get close to that number here the next year, probably. Because this is not, they're not doing anything about this. They're continuing to do this. There's nothing they can do about it. That's the problem. There's this impasse, like I talked about, the landlord versus the bank. And so it's either a big crash or write off these loans and set new precedents for real estate prices, which will cause a big crash, which will cause Wall Street to look into this because people on Wall Street invest in these notes. So that's where we're headed. We're not getting out of the woods, we're going further into it.
Yeah, you can't run. You can run, but you can't hide. And eventually it comes, like it always does. Cyclically, you can look at the market and the financial situation of the nation and around the world. And it's a cycle up and down and up and down. And you can't escape that. Speaking of debt, as we were talking about commercial debt, how's the Biden administration doing with debt? And they're about to rack up a bunch more because unfortunately, it looks like they're going to pass yet another spending bill in Congress. Which is difficult because the Speaker of the House today happens to be a friend of mine. And he's had a very difficult time getting this done in terms of just pushing back on this extravagant spending. I mean, this new Congress is spending more money than they did under Pelosi. But what's going on with the bills of the Biden administration? They like to act like everything's going well, but obviously we all know it isn't.
Well, first of all, our debt is not working for us. It's working against us. Let's take a look at that. It used to be 20 years ago, if we spend a dollar at the government level, we would get $2.50 to $3 and maybe as much as $5 economic growth. It's upside down now and has been for some time. The Bureau of Economics Analysis just released the report from the fourth quarter of last year, and they, I'll dice without getting into all the numbers and too far in the woods, just simplistically this, for every, we created $834 billion in debt in one quarter. That's almost $1 trillion in one quarter.
Crazy.
Okay,
it's
so crazy. Massive overspending. But here's, let's look deeper into it. For every $2.50 the government is spending, we're only getting $1 of economic growth. Mm. It's a destined to fail plan. And now the national debt, that it clicks over $1 trillion. It used to be, you know, 5-6 years ago, it took a couple years to do that.
Yeah.
And previously, it took, you know, a decade to do that. It's now every 100 days, the national debt is clicking $1 trillion. And Michael Harnett, strategist of Bank of America, says this pattern is intact. It's not going to go back.
Yeah.
The debt, $10 trillion of treasuries are having to be refinanced this year. 8.9 to be exact, almost 10. The problem is, this debt was at 0.5% or 1%. We're refinancing it at 5%. So we already had a financial problem, you know, paying our debt, the interest on our debt. Now this thing is ballooning. But let's go to the spending side. There's a pork fest bill of epic proportions that Congress just passed, this spending package to avert a shutdown. That was on March 8th. Senator Rand Paul says it's a pork fest of epic proportions. The Biden administration just submitted their budget for 2024. It's the largest budget in history, $7.3 trillion. They say it's going to pay for itself. They're raising taxes like crazy, every bracket, personal and corporate. Yet they said they weren't going to do this, but they are. And then they're putting these taxes, extra taxes on the wealth, those who amass over $10 million. And they're saying it will pay for itself, but the reality, it's going to add $16 trillion more debt over the next decade. It's not paying for itself. So the financial crisis, Steve, is beginning. We printed $5.4 trillion in 4 years, from 2020 to 2024. And this is not, you know, Jeffrey Tucker of the Epoch Times, you know, reports on this. Mm-hmm. And the key words, so far, we have not had a financial crisis. That doesn't mean we're not going to have one, because, it's simple math. You can't do these actions on a family budget, on a corporate budget, and certainly it's never been able to be worked on a fiat government budget system. They've all been destined to fail. Every single, personally, corporate, and government will all fail. That's the detriment of where we're headed, and our country is completely, our leaders of our country is completely ignoring it. Spend, spend, spend.
Yep.
No problems. We'll be able to fix it. Let the next generation worry about this.
Yeah,
if
create
we get to
more
the
money.
Next generation.
That's right. Just crank out more money. And just recently, in both my U.S. history class and my world history class for my classes at Noble U, we were talking about, we went through World War One, and I'm showing them how World War One is going to set up the rise of Adolf Hitler, and it's going to set up World War II. And one of the things that occurs after World War One is the debt structure is a train wreck. They put $32 billion in reparations on Germany. Germany's falling apart. Their whole economy is falling apart. That's how you get the Weimar Republic. And they're just cranking out more money. They're creating more money in Germany. We're loaning them money so that they can pay the Allies. And then the Allies owe us money from World War One, and they're paying us, but they're paying us with the money that we gave them. So the German Republic, the Weimar Republic, absolutely collapses under hyperinflation because they keep printing more and more money. And so it got so bad at one point, David, that they would not, if you go into a restaurant, they would not give you a menu with prices on it, because by the time you finished your meal, all the prices had gone up. That's how nasty inflation was. And you're talking about what's going on in the future. For some reason, I'm a glutton for punishment. So not only go to the U.S. Debt Clock website, I actually have the U.S. Debt Clock app on my phone just to keep me sober-minded. I just pushed it out 8 years, and the U.S. national debt projected at the rate we're at right now is 34 and a half right now. In 8 years, it's going to be 63 and a half, 63 and a half trillion. And it's projecting that federal spending at the time will be 16 trillion. So we're at 7-something trillion now, and they're going to double that again, because that's the train track these guys are on. And so none of them give a rip. It's really interesting. I had to launch a Facebook page for Noble U, for my classes at Noble U, because we're doing a bunch of social media advertising. And as soon as you come out and say, hey, we're teaching classes from a Christian perspective, all these nut job whacked out people start jumping on and commenting.
Yeah,
and they're atheists and they're liberals and they're making it's horrible. It's really nasty. But one guy comes in and we get into it about economic issues, and I mentioned he mentions, well, we got to get the rich to pay their fair share. And I said, hey, look it up. Go kill go kill all 400 people on the Forbes 400. Then kill the next 400 people behind them. Take 100% of all their assets. And you won't hardly touch our national debt. It's like $8 trillion. If you killed them all and took everything, it's like $8 trillion. And he's like, well, I don't know why you're bringing that up. Debt doesn't matter anyway. And I was like, oh no, I'm another modern monetary theory person who doesn't believe debt matters. But it does. But it's shocking to me that there's people, back to our common sense thing, that literally just refuse to see reality, which is why it's so important when we talk to David. All you're going to get when these, when we have these conversations is reality. And then you, the only question at that point is, what do you do about it? And we've been in a defensive position talking defense for years now. David, again, David's website, landmarkgold.com, as always, landmarkgold.com. Or give him a call and start to get educated, 844-604-2575. 844-604-2575. But it's just amazing to me, David, how common sense is just disappearing at such a shocking rate, at the same rate that our debt is going up, which I guess makes perfect sense.
Well, some of the facts that we share don't make common sense. If you remember a couple of years ago, you and I think it was two, maybe 3 years ago. Let's just say it's three. I was talking about the national debt in the next decade being $50 trillion. I was reading from a report. It wasn't the government's report. It was an analyst report who was a highly well-respected economist. And I remember you and I going, like, how can that be that high in 10 years from now?
You're like, what?
Okay, you're saying 60 trillion.
64 in 8 years.
Yeah, 64 trillion. So the numbers that these economists who are really smart, smarter than the government, unfortunately, are even ultra-ly wrongly conservative. The numbers, because we're ballooning our debt now, and the interest rate is ballooning. Mm-hmm. Let's get into a little bit more about the debt talks here. I want to talk more about that. You know, we have all the elements in place for an economic crisis of staggering proportions. Here's some titles of articles. Citi says U.S. soft landing recession signs are showing by the summer. Here's another person, Mark Spiegel of Stanfield Capital. He's an analyst. He says there's a nasty recession coming. Here's Ellen Zeitner, Morgan Stanley's chief economist. She's interviewed by CNBC last 2 weeks ago, a week ago, excuse me. We quote, we will have a hard landing at some point. I guarantee you that, end quote. That's the chief economist for Morgan Stanley.
Yes, okay. You might want to listen to that. Yeah.
Here's another guy, just as well-respected as Ellen Zeitner, maybe even more. He's a legendary financial geopolitical analyst, Martin Armstrong. He says, quote, everything is going wrong for the country. And he's calling for a economic downturn of epic proportions in 2024. How about the largest shipper across the country, Fred Smith, founder and executive chairman of shipping giant FedEx? He says America's ballooning public debt, is, if left unchecked, will threaten to spiral into a catastrophic crisis. He was interviewed on Fox News recently about that. Jamie Dimon, J.P. Morgan Chase, the largest bank in the United States, CEO. He's warning that the out-of-control spending in Washington threatens the government, he used this word, default, that could trigger a rebellion. He's not the only one saying the word default. Billionaire Ken and billionaire investor Ken Griffin. I've talked about him before. Yep. He's saying the government, he says the government, but says they, which is the Fed, they're going to just print more money, more dollars to deal with the possibility of a default and push the economy into a deep tailspin, end quote. We've had more spending, double the spending in February this year than what was collected in taxes, Steve.
Double.
I said every $1 trillion happens every 100 days. The national debt grew 60% since 2018. And when you analyze the annual payment on the national debt, we're over $1 trillion of interest payment. It just surpassed the largest piece of the budget, which is defense. Soon it's going to surpass all health areas, health spending.
Yep. It will surpass Medicaid,
Social Security, and all the other categories. Again, no family could ever do this. We could never survive.
This is like the interest on my debt is significantly more than my net worth.
Yes.
You start going, how do you even get there? The only way you can get there is you authorize yourself unlimited loans and unlimited printing of cash.
Yes.
And that's how they play the game.
So obviously our debt to income ratio has worsened it's ever been in the history of our government. It's ballooned at a scary pace. Let me leave you with one more fact in reference to the debt. When you take a look at any government report, any Federal Reserve report or predictions, let's add in presidential speeches and bills submitted and passed, congressional bills submitted and passed, Treasury spending and debt reports, the Congressional Budget Office in their report, and the Federal Reserve reports and predictions. All these individuals, all these agencies, when they made predictions of economic growth, also describing how spending bills would pay for themselves and financing the government, the national debt, and the unfunded liabilities. Never, 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 ever in the history of those reports, none has ever factored in a recession. We have a recession on average, Google it, 6.5 years. We are currently 16 years past a recession. We should have had two. So that means this next recession that all these people that have been quoting, hard landing, I guarantee you, economic turmoil, and I got a few more quotes we haven't talked about yet. We've been putting it off. It's like the slingshot. Right. You pull it back, you pull it back, right. Pull it back. Once you finally let it go, velocity hits.
Oh, man. Yep, that's right.
And that's what's getting to already happen in this next economic recession. It will be at the core of the financial system, the government, the dollar, because the world understands central banks.
Yeah.
Understand what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Emphatically, the same emotion that you might have, the listeners might have in hearing my voice saying this is going to turn into an economic tragedy, magnify that from a central bank level who hold the most amount of dollars. This is why they're scared to death. This is why they're getting rid of dollars. That's why BRICS is coming about. It's a fanatical movement that's growing at leaps and bounds. We'll get into that in a second. And this is why the dollar and the government is going to be in trouble. That's the core of the financial system of the world. And that's what's going to cause this big problem when it finally unravels, and it will unravel because history has proven there's no way out of this.
Yeah, there's no way out.
When
it's
does.
Just, it's just a matter of how deep and how long.
Yeah,
that's it.
Exactly. And that's what Jim Rogers, he's a billionaire and he's a gold advocate. He doesn't own a gold company. But he just said this next recession will unravel deeper and longer than the 2008. That was 4 years. And 50% loss. He's saying it's going to be more than that. So that's why you got to have some gold and silver in the portfolio. You don't want to have all your money in paper. You don't want to have all your money in gold and silver. A balance, a portion to seven, a portion to eight, because you do not know what tragedy may befall you. But you might want to get a little bit heavier in gold, especially when we talk about it today. You'll see why.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's why that education is so important. LandmarkGold.com is David's website, LandmarkGold.com. Or the phone number is always, if you want to be old-fashioned, actually talk to somebody, a human being, 844-604-2575, 844-604-2575. And you mentioned our U.S. federal debt to GDP ratio. In 1960, again, I'm on the U.S. Debt Clock app on my phone. In 1960, it was 53%. So that's our U.S. federal debt to our GDP, the total cumulative dollars every year that we make in America, products, services, the whole thing, gross domestic product. So in 1960, it was only 53%. In 1980, down to 34.5%. In 2000, it jumped up to 58.65%, and now we're at 123.7%, and it will continue to grow. So our debt is outpacing even our ability to produce. And again, that's like, hey, I make 100 grand a year, but I spend 150 a year. Okay, you can only do that for so long. If you live in the real world, the government gets away with it because they print money and borrow money, which they do all for themselves and through themselves. But eventually that collapses. You mentioned about BRICS and how it's moving so quickly.
Before we go there, I got to piggyback what you just said.
Sure.
So what's the number, the GDP number from the national debt clock?
123%.
Okay, but that doesn't talk about the unfunded liabilities.
Oh, no. The unfunded liabilities, when you get down to the bottom of this, is about... Unfunded liabilities now, I think, are like $170 trillion. So all the debt that we're going to owe, Medicare, Social Security, out into the future, everything that you can determine today, but out in the future, is about $160 trillion.
So when you factor that in with the $34.5 trillion, the debt-to-GDP ratio, I just did the numbers on this, and I did a seminar, is 567%.
I was going to say, it goes up five times.
Yeah. There's no way we can even fund this. No. And, you know, so I say, hey, let's not pay Social Security anymore, or Medicare, or Medicaid, or government pensions, or anything. So in other words, everything comes to a screeching halt. If that happened, 1929, depression would be a walk in the park.
Right. Yeah, you're in French Revolution territory at that point when... leading up to the French Revolution, then we'll move on and talk about BRICS, because we talked about this in my world history class. You had what they called the three estates in the French country right before the French Revolution. And those are the three different groups of people. You had the top 1% and then another top 1% to 2% after that. And then 97% of the people in France were in the third estate. Those are middle-class people and poor people. At the top, in the top 3% were landowners and clergy, believe it or not, and then people that were running the country, the king, his family, and all the aristocracy. The overwhelming majority of the taxes, the top guys, the clergy guys, paid no taxes. The next 2%, the richest people, paid barely any taxes, and the overwhelming majority of the tax burden was on the poor people. And so all this that was part of the fire that took off during the French Revolution, because they're like, this whole system's broken, and the only people that seem to be doing well are the top 3%. And that's what you're talking about, because the uber wealthy, because of their diversity in terms of their assets, can weather this kind of stuff, but the rest of us can't. And when you get to that level, like you said, 1929, and you get to Black Friday and all the things that happened in the crash and the Great Depression. Throw some human depravity in there. Who knows what this looks like? And I know that sounds horrible, but my hope and your hope, David, praise the Lord, is not in this place at this time. We have a king who's sitting on a throne. Yep. And even when our debt to GDP ratio is 500%, it's not like God's going to lose any sleep. And so that's our ultimate hope. So if you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, your hope is this place. Good luck with that, because it's all going to collapse sooner or later. That story's already been written, the whole trajectory of the world. Eschatology is the study of end times, is down. Now we can have some ups and downs as we go along there, and revivals and wonderful things that we see the Lord doing. But we know that it's going to go in that direction. And so in the meantime, you have to be a good steward. You have to play defensively, because the numbers don't lie. And let's move to BRICS, because BRICS is just a whole new system in response to what's eventually going to happen to the U.S. dollar. Is that generally correct?
Yes. Yeah, so BRICS was formed, started in 2006 at the United Nations in a private room. A few countries got together. It formally launched in 2009. But the formal launch happened last year. Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And then they said at that point, BRICS would double January 1st. Saudi Arabia, Argentina, Egypt, Ethiopia, Iran, and United Arab Emirates. Those countries are being a part of BRICS. Actually, Argentina's pushed the pause button. They have all kinds of financial problems going on with their currency, so they can't really join. They don't want to join right now. So there's really 10 countries. We went from 5 to 10. BRICS doubled. BRICS is larger than the G7, which is Canada, Italy, United States, and the Japan, and then a lot of European countries combined, United Kingdom. BRICS is larger than that by GDP by a third, and population three times more than that. And BRICS is growing. Here's the new news on BRICS. And I have a white paper on BRICS. Make sure you call my company or reach out to us on our website. But BRICS is a group that is emerging. The whole purpose is they want to get rid of the dollar. And this really got triggered by when the Biden administration wants to, you know, or seized, didn't want to, they seized $400 billion of Russian assets in some other countries along that way. So there's this fear that all these other countries, that set up the tone where I don't know, want old dollars. Of course, the dollar was in trouble before then from a debt structure, and this is just getting magnified on all fronts. So BRICS wants to create a system outside the dollar. They call it the dollar de-dollarization. In other words, just get rid of dollars.
Right.
So think of it this way. Russia sells oil to China, using this as an example. Previous to 2 years ago, China had to convert their currency, the yuan, to a dollar. And because the oil transaction, the agreement was written in U.S. dollars.
Right. That's why we're called the world's reserve currency.
Exactly.
All those transactions have to be done in dollars. So you have to convert everything to dollars.
That happened as just a little back page here. 1971, Nixon took us off a gold standard. The world saw that the dollar was just paper at that point, so they didn't want to use the dollar. So we had to find an incentive for the world to hold dollars. And in 1974, with Saudi Arabia and OPEC and those countries, we said, we will protect you military-wise if you contract and sell oil only in contracts denominated in dollars. So from 1974, for decades, up until about 2 years ago, every barrel of oil that was sold was in the dollar. And we were like the middleman in the midst of that.
That's the money changer.
Exactly. So what's happening is the rest of the world is seeing, hey, we can do this on our own. Mm-hmm. China and Russia are saying, using that example again, why do they need the United States as the middleman? They look at us, and I'm a patriot. I love my country. So this next statement is not about me, my opinion. It's how the world views this. As a mafia type, we're in the middle of this contract that the United States has nothing to do with.
Right,
and we skim a piece of the pie on China buying oil from Russia. They have to convert their currency, just like if you're going to travel to another nation.
Right.
You got to convert it from dollars to whatever that currency is. It costs you money.
That's right.
Then it gets converted to dollars. Russia receives those dollars. Then Russia has to convert out of dollars into their ruble, their currency. That costs them fees. The traders say it's somewhere between 2 to 5%. Plus, Russia can sell oil cheaper than if China wanted to buy it from the United States. And plus, shipping costs are a lot more on that.
Cut out the middleman.
Yeah. Yep. And on top of that, cutting out the middleman, China pays in their currency. They support their currency, the yuan. They support their economy. So there's all this incentive that's just a common sense thing.
Sure it is.
Where the world does not want to use the dollar. On top of that, they don't like what we stand for, some of these nations. And on top of that, they see the financial calamity that we just described even more so than what we see. So with that, BRICS has been birthed. The strength of BRICS is growing. According to the Russian news agency TASS, BRICS is working to create an independent payment system now. They're going to even do this in a digital currency, a blockchain possibly, is what the Kremlin aide is saying. They believe that they can create this independent payment system for the future, and it will happen by the end of this year. So this whole countries that are saying we want to sell oil and trade outside of the dollar, the payment system is going to be set up this year. So imagine half of the world no longer using half of the oil trade or more, and $25 trillion was traded in oil last year. That's a lot of revenue that the United States no longer gets. Who's saying this by the end of the year? The Russian finance minister. And Sergio Glazev, he's like the equivalency of Janet Yellen and Jerome Powell together. He's probably the most influential financial guy in Russia. And by the way, Russia is now the head of BRICS. It used to be in South Africa. They moved it to China. Now it is Russia. Glazev says that the reports are showing that the government, Russian government, and BRICS are addressing his ideas. They're examining them to see if this actually can be done, a new trade settlement model that will funnel money outside of the dollar. And they're saying they will introduce this new currency instrument for transactions, and it's not too difficult. That's the quote. So whatever agency you look at, they're going to do this. And they're saying, why are we doing this? We were sanctioned 2 years ago to transfer from U.S. dollars to euros and other currencies, and they seized our money, $400 billion. So this is all these incentives that I just listed. But BRICS is not stopping at 10 nations. Here's the new report. 34 new countries have signed written agreements to come on board with BRICS this year.
Wow.
And behind those 34, so you have 10, then you have already, then you have these new 34s. Behind those 34 is 17 nations that will saying, we think we're going to just try out the BRICS system, how it works. We're not asking to be a member of BRICS, but that might happen. But we definitely want to use the platform.
Yep.
So this is just happening a lot faster than I predicted it would happen.
Well, at that point, you've got 61 countries, which is about a third of the known countries on the planet.
Exactly. And so how does this affect you and I? Currency analyst Doug Casey writes a newsletter for three decades. I've read them many times. He says this, the new BRICS currency will be used for international settlements, so they don't have to use the U.S. dollar. Trillions of U.S. dollars will be coming back to the shores of the United States for real wealth, gold, and the U.S. prices will skyrocket while the standard of living will collapse, end quote. Obviously, if we lose 50% of the oil trade, that's trillions of dollars, 13 at least coming back. 12 to 13 coming back. Jim Rickards used to work at the CIA. Now he's a currency specialist. He says this will be the biggest upheaval in international finance since 1971. It's a direct aim at the dollar. Quite simply, the world is unprepared for this geopolitical shockwave. Mm-hmm. I say the U.S. is unprepared for it.
Yes.
And Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Robert Kiyosaki wrote the book.
Yep.
He says, trillions of U.S. dollars will rush home. Inflation will run through the roof. A giant crash is coming for fake money, a.k.a. fiat money. The U.S. dollar is about to die, and BRICS will put the nail in the coffin for all fake fiat money. I can go on and on.
Wow.
Even the founder of Fred Smith, the CEO, he says this. If this happens, in reference to BRICS, we can't sell our bonds anymore. I assure you the standards of living we all enjoy today is going to be a thing of the past. So this is something that is real. Get the BRICS report from my company. Mm-hmm. All reports and education are free. There's no obligation, no pressure. Get the BRICS report. It will open your eyes. I've only just scratched the surface of what we're talking about today.
Yeah, and you have to have that kind of information. Landmarkgold.com is the website, or 844-604-2575. 844-604-2575. And if you just want to get the BRICS report, you just call in and say, hey, I'd love to get that BRICS white paper and get yourself educated so you can kind of see what's going on here. And this makes me think of the bail-in, which we've talked about off and on over the years, David. But remind us real quick just about the bail-in and any news on that.
So the bail-in has happened in nine countries. Seven of the nine countries, they seized their retirement plans, pensions, the equivalency of what we have as a 401k or IRAs, private pensions and government pensions. And Fox News, so we passed a law in 2010 called the Dodd-Frank Act, and the country realized that this next downturn is going to be significantly greater than 2008. And I think we're seeing the facts on that now. Boy, did they know back then how much this would be where we're at today. But that's why they passed that law, because they couldn't bail out everybody in 2008. 155 banks failed. Some say as much as 200 when you add up all the small ones. And two big brokerage companies, Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers, collapsed. In other words, there's not this money tree in the backyard of the Federal Reserve or the government or the Treasury or even the FDIC to bail out all these entities. And they had to let a big chunk of them collapse, which caused the economy to collapse. We're in the same boat, but magnify the numbers. So this is why a couple of years later in 2010, they created a bail-in law. According to the Fox News, they can legally seize your 401k, IRA, any paper asset, anywhere in the economy the government has full jurisdiction over, according to Fox News. What does this mean to you? Your 401k, your IRA, they can take, they can seize. They don't have to give you notice. In fact, those seven countries, four of the seven, Steve, they seized their money because there is a budget deficit. Boy, do we have a budget deficit, $1.3 trillion on the national debt clock. It's more like, or more like 2 point something, because it's not adding all the unfunded liabilities.
Just in a year. Sure. Well, the thing about it, people hear that, they hear about the bail-in and go, man, things would have to be really bad for that to happen. So basically, just so you know how exposed we all are, if you can go check the balance of something online, you're not the only one. Okay, so electronically is how the government can get to this stuff. Sure. And you go, wow, it'd have to be really bad for the government to go in and dip into all of their citizenry's bank accounts and take their stuff. Right, that's why we're telling you it's getting that bad and can get to that point. And then at that point, that's where people freak out. This is why when the government did a massive expansion during the Great Depression, people didn't say anything. I mean, they literally, there's a graphic, you can go just Google it, just do FDR periodic chart, and they're going to show you, you know what the periodic chart is with all the elements, and then they replace all the elements with all the different organizations and programs that FDR came up with during the Great Depression. Yeah. And everybody's so desperate, they're like, okay, government, do whatever you got to do, at least we'll survive. I mean, this is crazy, I can't believe this is happening, but we got to do what we got to do. And then people just kind of lay down. I mean, look, all it took was a little COVID action for half the country to just do what they were told. And this would be way, 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 way worse. So if you think the bail-in sounds nutso, you're wrong. And it has happened before. And desperation will lead the government to do whatever they need to do. And this is something that at that point they would need to do it. They would have no other way.
Yeah. And just like they did in FDR, create all these government agencies, they created a big one in 2010. It's called the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And again, Fox News chimes in and writes detailed information on this. It's an island. It doesn't get its funding from the government appropriations committees, like normal all government funding does, because it's not residing at the government. It resides at the Federal Reserve. But the Federal Reserve doesn't have jurisdiction over this. And according to Fox News, this thing is an island. Not even the president has control over this thing. So this is the situation we're in. And bail-ins is going into your citizens' bank account, savings, checking, 401ks, IRAs, any paper asset. The number, according to the Wall Street Journal, the coming global wealth tax is 56 to 71%. This is in our bail-in report. They call it the coming bail-in. Get a copy of that besides the BRICS report, it's revised in its seventh edition. But let's get up to speed really quick on what's happening right now. Yellen wants to take the frozen assets of Russia, which is $400 billion. She legally wants to take another country's asset and disperse it to another country. There's no legal way of doing that unless they pass a law through the whole world that they allow this to happen. So some people say, well, they can't take my money. There's no law. There is. Well, in the case of Russia, there is no law. But in the case of the United States, there is a law. It's called the Dodd-Frank Act. And the bail-in is real. You can go to my website, watch the one-minute video from the FDIC. It is real. The board of directors are talking about a bail-in and how it will happen. So it's a real thing. Most recently in the news, March 20th, Elizabeth Warren. Here's the title of the article. Liz Warren and social pals want to normalize confiscation of assets.
Oh, man.
With the ultra rich. So let me just tell you this. Like Steve said, you add up all the 400 people, the top Forbes 400 and 500, and get more in there. It's not even enough to make a dent in this thing.
If they literally kill them all.
Yeah.
Kill them all and don't use a 50% death tax. Take 100%.
If they do that, you think they're going to stop at that because it's not enough money. So this government, their thought pattern is, their belief, as a man believeth, so is he, the Bible says.
Yep, that's right.
Their belief, by their own words and admittance and bills and laws they pass already, your money is not your money. They want to confiscate it. It's just a matter of time.
That's right. And look at it. I'm looking at this again, back on the U.S. debt clock app. I'm looking at total U.S. assets, small business, corporate assets, household assets. Household assets is $329 trillion. That's all households. So the government can go, oh, all we need to do is dip into that and we can take care of it. And hey, we're all in this together. Be a patriot, put on your red, white, and blue and help us save the country. And there's a whole bunch of people go, well, I mean, what's the alternative? And it's out there and the government knows it's out there. So you've touched on gold and silver just a few times. So let's finish up our time today on the podcast, David, just with an update on gold and silver. Is it in a bull market? I mean, it's up over gold's up over 2,100 bucks now. So give us an update on that and why it's so important to consider gold and silver to balance out a portfolio, especially given the really dark realities that we're talking about here.
So here's some topics, titles of articles. March 5th, we have liftoff. Gold takes out record highs. February 27th, Federal Reserve and Treasury ensures dollar downside is ahead. So why am I stopping then saying that? Teeter-totter. Steve has said many times, it's like the teeter-totter. You have gold and silver on one side. You have paper money, dollar on the other side. When the dollar goes down, the other side of the teeter-totter, gold and silver goes up. So if the Fed and the Treasuries are ensuring us the dollar downside is coming, that's why you're seeing some rising in gold and silver.
Right, right.
Here's another topic. Central banks are going for gold in January, pointing to the third straightest strong demand, according to the World Gold Council. Central banks have been buying gold for 53 years every year. They upped their ante in 2006, 7, and early 8. Guess why? Huh? They saw that happening.
Yeah.
4 years ago, they started upping their ante. In the last 3 years, has been like a parabolic up ante. They see the same thing, but on steroids, a 2008 all over again. So that's what's happening in the gold market from that standpoint, what the belief is. Here's the belief of Yvonne Blaschek. She's the president and chief executive officer of BMG Group. She runs three subsidiaries. She's a corporate expert in governance, corporate governance, and has extensive background in corporate management, strategy, and bond board governance, finance, human resources, legal compliance. I'm going to read her whole bio, and change in management. Smart lady. She says this: I believe that it is safe to be certain gold is an absolute necessity, silver as well. Something happened in the gold and silver market on March 1st, Steve. I've said on your program 2 years ago, several times, a year ago, several times, last year, a whole bunch towards in the fourth quarter. Wait, it's like the Hunt for Red October, Sean Connery. Wait. And then he says, whatever, hard rhetoric, left, right, or whatever it was. I've been saying, wait, like Sean Connery. Now it's exactly, boom. What's that? I said, once the Federal Reserve comes out and makes this announcement that they're going to do something with quantitative easing, but they don't want to call it quantitative easing, but it's going to be the same thing, which is print a bunch of money, you know, buy a lot of government debt, move the money around and make it look like we're fixing the economy. And all you're doing is devaluing the dollar and supporting the overspending of the government. They made that announcement on March 1st. And that day we saw stocks go up. We saw gold and silver go up more than stocks, because when we're in a bull market in gold and silver in 2008 to 2012, it outperformed by index 2-to-1 the stock indexes. I'm not saying stocks are bad. I'm just saying everybody's enamored with the stock market. The indexes of gold and silver are moving faster than the indexes in the paper markets. But the announcement came from the most well-respected governor of the Federal Reserve. There's 19 of them. And his name is Christopher Waller. He made that announcement. I don't get into all the details of it because it gets too far in the woods because they talk Fed jargon. The bottom line is they're going to do what they did in 2008. Just the announcement caused this big run. They haven't done it yet. They're not going to start doing it until maybe as early as June and possibly more likely in the fall. So imagine how much is going to run when that happens.
Right.
So here's the numbers. Okay. 2018 through 2022, 4 years, gold went up $465. I'm referring to the spot index now, okay? The physical markets did more than that. October 22, till now, gold, or until a month ago, gold went up $485 in a 1.5 year, almost 2 year period of time. So it did more in 2 years than the previous 4 years. In the last month since this announcement, the Fed announcement, it's gone up $175 in just 4 weeks.
Yeah, wow.
So we're in a major bull market. We're moving towards a stagflationary economy. It's 1970s style, where the debt is unmanageable and they can't get inflation under control. And you're going to see stocks. What happened in the 70s? And I'm not anti-stocks when I say that. I'm just, this is where we're headed.
It's reality.
Stock market corrected 50%. It took 10 years to get it back to square one. They call it the lost decade. And here's what happened to gold. It went up 1,950%.
Wow.
And silver did more than that. So the bottom line is gold's going to, and silver's going to play on several roles now. Before, I could not say this last role, but the first role, it is, it's going to protect you from the government seizing your money,
right,
all the bail-in. The second role is, it's, you know, so roll over your a portion of your 401k, your IRA, or buy over the counter and or do that and get your biggest assets, your retirement accounts protected in gold and silver. The second thing gold is going to do, protect you from when the Federal Reserve and the Treasury say this, that the dollar's going down and BRICS gets rid of dollars, the dollar's going down because there's going to be this flooding of it. Gold and silver is on the other side of the teeter-totter. It will protect you. It goes up as that goes down. And then the third thing is, I can confidently say this now, it might be the best investment the next 10 years because now, without a doubt, and I've been in for doing this for just shy of 30 years, it'll be August then, I've seen every market you can imagine. We are clearly, clearly, clearly in a major bull market in gold and silver. What that does not mean, this is the get-rich-quick scheme. It does not mean it's going up every single day. It does not mean that you're become a multi-millionaire just by investing a few thousand dollars in the gold.
Right.
What it means is, it might, and more than likely, based upon history, outperform this bull market happening in stocks, and it will protect you from the dollar and, most importantly, the bail-in. So it's not going to do things that all your stocks will do.
Right,
it does
right.
things more than that. Call my company, get knowledgeable, get educated, get your questions answered. No pressure. People perish for lack of knowledge and wisdom. We want you to have this knowledge and wisdom more than the podcast today and get the information packet on gold and silver, plus the white paper on the bail-in and the BRICS, and we can help you get educated. It's your decision. You're the role is here as I'm the educator, and if you want to do something, we're the facilitator. You're the steward of the funds that's been entrusted with you, knowing the knowledge. And once you know knowledge, now you're held accountable to be that stewardship.
Yeah, and that's where you have to get educated. You are a steward, and we all are held responsible for whatever amount of finances we have. And then to be educated, you know, that people perish for lack of knowledge, and sometimes that's a decision you make. Hey, like, I'm not interested. Okay, well, you're making a choice. You're choosing ignorance, and ignorance always comes with a price. So, David, what's the easiest way for people to get a hold of you? And again, this is something you learn. Make sure you pass it on. We were talking before we started recording. A member of my board had a family member and a member of my board's like, hey, give me the information for David because my family member wants to do something and they're trying to get educated, and that helped them. And that's the whole point. You share this information and try to help yourself and try to help other people. We all have a platform, and we need to share when we get educated. So what's the best way? How do people get a hold of
you? And that lady who called us, I talked to your board member, and she referred me to her sister. And both of them said, oh, it's so wonderful talking to you. You sound just like on the radio. I feel no pressure. You're a very courteous and honest man. Everything Steve has said about you, thank you for your accolades, your kind words, Steve.
Amen.
People don't need pressure. People just need education, and they can make own decisions. Call us at 844-604-2575. Again, the number, 844-604-2575. Or you can go to our website, landmarkgold.com. And remember, If you take care of your money now, it will be there to take care of you later.
Amen. David Fisher, always great to see you. Thanks for your time, my brother. I love you.
Love you too, my brother. Thank you.
All right, pal. You're welcome.